Zelda.
Puzzle.
Oh.
Podquest. I think we did this on a previous episode. We did it way better.
Yeah.
That's
so
fine.
Just go listen that to that one.
Well. Yeah, we're just going to replicate that audio here.
Yeah.
And it'll be fine. Hi, welcome. This is level 5. A lot of levels in this game. On this podquest.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And it's my turn to run one, I think, right?
That's what we're doing.
I didn't prepare one.
Okay. We should probably do the Fire Temple then, because that's the one I have prepared.
Let's do it.
Cool.
At the top here, I've got just a recap. Link is on an adventure. He has a sword, shield, Lantern of Truth, Magnet Glove, Ocarina, and he knows the Song of Swiftness and Command Tarantella. I would call it the bug-catching net in here, but I'm pretty sure Ryan called it the butterfly net.
And I do not care what we call it.
Okay. And also 999 rupees.
Oh, yeah.
He has obtained the Shadow Pendant, the Lightning Pendant, the Time Pendant, and the Spider Pendant. Now, a rumor has reached Link's pointed ears about a temple in the wastes north of Death Mountain, leading him to take the harrowing journey over a mountain pass. One night, taking refuge from a sudden onslaught of falling boulders, Link meets a fellow traveler, an odd fellow, named Kilton. Learning of Link's mission, Kilton warns, "I know of this temple. It is not a place to be taken lightly. The guardian of the temple has a great amount of treasure, and probably has the fire pendant you seek. But you stand no chance of success unless you take this with you." From his massive pack, Kilton pulls out a Bokoblin mask and hands it to Link. "When you get there, put this on, and don't remove it." Soon after, the boulders subside, and both travelers go on their respective ways. By nightfall, Link comes upon a massive freestanding stone building set against a tall cliff. Twin smokestacks pollute the sky above, and an illuminated sign next to a large steel door says, "Open." Link dons the Bokoblin mask and enters the Fire Temple.
Cool.
Scrolling down, scrolling down, scrolling down. The din of a couple dozen rowdy voices having several loud conversations hits Link's ears before he can even process the scene in front of him. There are many, many blins in here. A dozen or so mini blins crowd around a large table in the southwest corner of the room. A doorway behind them leads to the west. At the north end of the room, a lone Goria sits on a stool at a long bar. A door behind the bar leads north. The east side of the room has a wide entrance into an even rowdier sounding room. But two enormous blins have pulled together a pair of tables and are engaged in an arm wrestling match, blocking the way. A stone pedestal sits beside a weapon rack laden with many spears. A piece of parchment on the pedestal has something written on it.
What's written on it?
It says, "Seat yourself," in large letters. And then in a smaller script towards the bottom, it says, "To the temp, when you get here, report to the kitchen immediately."
A kitchen puzzle, perhaps.
I am overwhelmed. I was writing Bokoblin mask from Kilton while Zach was still talking, and I missed a bunch of details.
Okay, which details would you like?
Give me the description of the exterior first.
Oh.
Because I was like, wait a second, this is cool.
It is a... Scrolling back up. A freestanding stone building set against a tall cliff. Twin smokestacks pollute the sky above. And an illuminated sign next to a large steel door says, "Open."
Okay, that's good we had you repeat that, because the first time you said "open," I thought that there was a question mark after it. And now it says "open" in my notes, which is not helpful. Sarah, I need your assistance.
Okay.
How off kilter can I get the players today? That's how, the Temple of Disorientation.
There's a lot going on in here.
Was there something to the west of this starting room?
There are, so the exits, I tried to kind of pepper the exits in the description, but maybe I should have done it a different way. From this entry room, there's exits to the east and west that are just open, like, doorways. Sure. And then behind, in the north wall, behind a bar, there's a door leading to another room.
Okay. Okay. Is west where we came from?
But then
we came from south.
Oh, okay. So there's, wow.
Classic
okay.
dungeon style.
I did not give you that information. I should have given you that information.
I see.
But the way east is blocked by some Blinn's arm wrestling?
That's correct.
Okay. So the only totally open way is west, but I have an inkling that we should pretend to be the temp and go to the bar and ask the guy at the bar where the kitchen is.
Okay, you saddle up to the bar. The Goria here gives you a polite head nod. We can just lean into this. And says,
okay.
Well, I reckon those double doors there lead on to the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
In the north wall.
Okay. Well, I'm the temp, so I need to get in there.
Well, you better get over there. And he gestures over towards a part of the bar where you can see it's like got the little... It's not complete. It's got the little thing you can flip up to get behind there.
It's the bar bridge.
Is that what it's called?
No.
Okay. I would have believed you.
Well, that's your mistake. Let's crawl under the bar bridge instead of lifting it up.
Okay.
And enter the kitchen to the north.
So you push through those kind of doors that swing open. Rows of cabinets and sinks and ice boxes give this room a maze-like quality. But moving deftly through the maze is a huge Blinn wearing Viking horns and an apron. He quickly notices you. Do you mind if I inundate you with images?
No.
Go ahead.
It's this guy.
Whoa.
Oh my gosh.
This is King Bolblin. Except here, he's got an apron on. He quickly notices you. Hey, you're late. Customers are already waiting. I appreciate you picking up the shift on short notice, but I kind of expected you to be a little more, you know, punctual. You never worked here before, so here's the rundown. I am the chef. This kitchen, he points around him, is my domain. Don't touch anything unless I tell you to. Here's how this goes. You are going to go to each party and take their order. You tell me that order, and I'll get to work preparing it. Now, I might need you to run something to the oven or grab something from the basement or whatever. You'll be my gopher, all right? Once the order is ready, you bring the order to the table. Keep whatever tips you get. Now, I've already served everyone drinks. I count 6 groups tonight. Blinns are used to waiting around for things to happen, so don't worry too much about time. Just get their orders right. You get paid after everyone is fed and gone, and after a bit of light cleaning. Any questions?
What's the pay like?
You can get a piece of my whatever's in my treasure box. I've got a whole lot of treasure from this place.
Awesome. You can take your pick. Okay, good. Good, because we do have 999 rupees, so I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, way to brag.
Oh, that was an aside, but okay.
Okay.
Okay. So we're taking orders.
He tosses you an apron and says, okay, get to work.
All right.
I should say, point out now that you're in this room, he's running around, like, getting plates and stuff set up. There's a door in the north of the room.
Oh.
And there are doorways to the west and east. And there's definitely a bunch of heat emanating from the west. And then the main entrance is back to the south. There's also a locked hatch in a floor. In the floor in this room. I shouldn't have said locked, but why did I put the notes that way? That's funny.
Can we try to open it?
Is there a big padlock on it?
There is a padlock on it.
Okay.
If you look over, he says, I don't need anything from the basement right now.
All right.
Okay. I suppose we should. I'm inclined to go backwards and try to get the orders from the rooms that we've already seen. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, might as well get an order at least from the entry room.
Okay.
If we go in the entry room, is there a party or parties there?
There's a bunch of people here. As mentioned before, there's a group of mini blends, probably about a dozen of them, crowded around a table in the southwest, I'm doing hand motions, southwest corner of the room. There's Agoria sitting at the bar. And then there's who are these guys? I have it written down. A big blin and a boss blin. Do you want more pictures?
Yeah.
It's this guy and this guy are arm wrestling.
Cool.
Makes sense.
And then Agoria looks like this. And a mini blends are these guys. I guess for the reader, listener, not reader. Our cast of characters in this room is a big blin from, I guess they're from the DS games. It's just like all upper body strength looking moblin, as well as the chief boblin guy from Link's Awakening, who's got the Viking horns and big old teeth. Goria looks like a puppy dog man. And then the mini blends are the little devil guys from Wind Waker. These guys are all wearing sailor uniforms also, weirdly enough.
Oh, cool. Let's talk to the mini blends first. Get out our notepad.
They're excited that you're here. Like, oh, they're here. Yeah. Hey. And like one of them comes up to you and says, hey, see Mike over there? He gestures at one of them. You can't tell which one he's gesturing at. It's Mike's birthday today. And we only get a little bit of shore leave, so we really want to get a birthday cake and really get a big special vacation for him. So we really like a birthday cake.
Got it. Birthday cake.
I'm sure we can do that. Could take thumbs a while, up. Though, so maybe we should turn in the order.
Smart.
Yeah, let's go back to the kitchen and give that chef the order.
Okay, you go back in, he says, birthday cake. Okay, I can do that, probably. Hold on. He very quickly gets a big bowl and throws a bunch of ingredients in, whisks it incredibly fast, and dumps it into a tin. Like one of those cake molds that's, like, circular and, you know, what a cake mold looks like.
Mm-hmm.
He turns to you and says, okay, I need you to go put this in the oven.
Well, that's probably the oven to the west, right?
Hot room to the west, I think.
And if it's not, he'll tell us we're going the wrong way.
He stops regarding you after handing it on to you.
Okay. Well, let's try.
Yeah.
Okay, you go to the west, which is this room. At the center of this room is the largest rotisserie grill you've ever seen. Turning over a tremendous fire, three giant spits are arranged like ascending stairs leading up, each one laden with a variety of delicious-looking meats. Past that, on the far wall, is a large oven.
Okay. Let's put the cake in that oven.
Okay.
Ignoring the delicious meat.
You put the cake in the oven. You start looking for... I'm assuming you're going to be looking for a way to turn the oven on. But I probably shouldn't have assumed
that. Oh, it's not on?
It's not on.
Yeah, we should turn it on as well then.
There is a single dial, but that dial is completely bare. There are no indication of what you're dialing at any given point.
Okay.
Hmm.
I'll just turn it a goodly amount.
Describe a goodly amount.
Do you want it in degrees or radians?
Degrees would be fine. We can make this work. This can be fun.
Let's turn it 90 degrees.
Okay. Now I gotta do this. You turn it 90 degrees. The oven activates, lights up, gets warm, and then an instant later shuts back down.
Hmm.
Okay.
Chef. We might need some more instruction.
Well, we have to go back and ask.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you go back and you pester him. He says, what? No, no, there's instructions on the dial, I'm pretty sure.
There aren't.
No. Oh,
wait. There, never mind. I forgot that I'm illiterate.
Figure it out. Figure it out. I can't deal with that. I can't be bothered with that right now.
Okay.
I'm too busy.
Hurry back into the oven room. Turn the lens of truth upon. Oh, wait. Are we doing sound effects with our mouths?
We can try. That means I need to do like oven sounds.
That's fine. I'll do the lens of truth sounds.
Okay, great. So good news. With the Lantern of Truth, you can see that there are symbols on this dial.
Nice.
The bad news is there are these symbols.
Oh.
For the listener, I've just gave them the, it's a bunch of weird symbols.
So which one of these did we turn it to last time?
You said 90 degrees, am looking at the little turnip one.
Okay, so it's starting out at 12 o'clock.
The dial was set to 12. And you turned it 90 degrees to there. And it activated and did something, but you're not sure what.
Does the cake look the same?
You open up the oven, and the cake has been warmed up a little bit.
Okay.
Hmm.
Like, the constituent ingredients are, like, warmer, but it is not cooked.
So, just so the listener knows what we're looking at, from 12 o'clock going clockwise, the symbols are angular spiral, turtle with elbows, kind of a face, turnip, triangle in triangle, hourglass, mustache, pentagon in pentagon, alien, circle flower, Saturn, and diamond with tail.
Nailed it.
Pretty accurate.
And of course, inside you have the Din, Nehru, and Furore symbols around the Triforce and some musical notation that I don't know what music that's supposed to be.
I don't know either. I forgot to look that up. This is a established symbol used in Skyward Sword. I didn't make this.
I wonder if we need to figure out which symbol to turn it to, or if we just turn it higher. Or if we just turn it the same way, like 8 more times to warm it.
I want to turn it to hourglass because an hourglass measures time.
Okay, you turn it to hourglass. The oven activates more intensely than before. And in fact, just continues to stay activated.
Great. And is the cake yet?
You open it up and it is completely on fire. Everything inside of the oven is engulfed in flame.
Okay, so we're done with the cake. Okay, we need some oven mitts and we need to fess up that we've burned the cake.
Okay, no oven mitts around, but you can go back to King Bulblin. And he says, "What? Oh, come on. It's easy. If you have a problem, just reset it back to where it was at the beginning."
Oh, okay. Awesome. Then let's set it to angular spiral.
You do that, and then it makes a fascinating noise, and you open the oven up again and see that the cake is now as it was when you first put it in.
Wow.
It's just batter?
Just a bunch of batter that's been mixed in a pan.
Is this a time travel oven?
Okay, then I... The oven of time.
Ooh.
Then I guess we should try setting it to triangle in triangle, since that's in between radish and hourglass.
Mm-hmm.
You do that. The oven makes a clicking sound. And you open it up and the food is exactly the same as before. There's been no change.
Hmm.
Okay. Huh.
I wonder if we need more information. Before
maybe we need more information. Yeah. Let's go. If it, like, apparently there's no rush since we can always set it back to the beginning of time. So let's go look around some more. Let's return to the front room and talk to those arm wrestlers.
They're both locked firmly in their hands curled, their caps turned backwards. But one of them, with enough pestering, will slightly turn his head over and just say, "Ribs," and then turn back to the task at hand.
Ribs we can do. Let's go back to the hot room, because aren't there ribs in there? Oh, wait, we have to report the order to the boss.
Mm-hmm.
The boss says,
"Chef."
Oh, yeah, that's me. Hi.
Ribs.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's easy. I'm going to get the plate ready. Just go grab them off the grill. It'll be real easy.
Okay, perfect. Let's go easily grab them off the grill.
You walk over to the grill, and you scan. Where'd the grill page go? Hold on. There we go. You scan the wall of meat to find ribs specifically. The middle spit has ribs, which it's slightly out of reach.
Hmm.
Do we have to turn a thing?
There is a thing to turn. There's actually three things to turn. There's like three steering wheel looking things. I don't know what they're called. But little like valves to turn to maneuver them.
Yeah, what are those called? Well, we're going to turn the top wheel. Top wheel?
The top wheel is weird. You go to that one first, and you try and move it, and it's stuck. Just ka-chunk, ka-chunk, ka-chunk.
Okay.
You're not sure if it's like rust or grease or whatever, but the whole thing is just stuck, and you're not able to turn that one at all.
Hmm.
All right, then turn the middle one.
The middle one gives way very easily and starts to turn in a way that lets it come over towards you, and you are able to very easily get a hold of a bunch of ribs.
Excellent.
All right. Let's carry those ribs to the arm wrestlers.
Okay. Having put it on a nice cool plate, you bring that over to the arm wrestlers, who notice the ribs, look at each other, do a nod, and disengage from the arm wrestling competition. They very politely put their tables back in the corners they're supposed to be in and sit at their respective tables and start consuming a bunch of ribs. Very soon after, they will finish and then leave the place.
All right, that's so we got another exit.
Satisfied that's customer. They do not six. Leave a tip, most critically.
Well, at least they opened the door to the east.
They did. I'm stalling because I can't scroll to the right thing. I'm assuming you want to go over there.
You're not yeah. stalling if Let's you're just it. Saying nothing.
Okay. So you go through that entryway. There's more tables here. A whole bunch of tables are all pushed together with about 10 or so Horriblins causing a ruckus. Horriblins are gross looking, Sarah. I don't know if Tara knows what a Horriblin looks like.
I don't.
They're like
okay,
monkey.
Okay, I'll picture that.
Blins. I have a picture I can send you, but they're really gross. I don't even want to send you the picture. It's so gross.
I'll just picture
send
it.
Send the picture.
It's these guys. They need to put them in another game and make them cuter. Because if these guys were cuter, yeah. they would be really cool.
Yeah.
But right now they're only in Tears of the Kingdom and they're really gross looking.
And they have like a hammer on their head.
Yeah, it's bad. I would hate to have a hammer on my head.
And there's a lot of them.
There's like 10 of them, and they're just roughhousing and like wrestling with each other and throwing stuff around. Just being rude. Behind them, there is a Moblin and a Hylian woman sitting alone at a table with a candle between them.
Hmm.
And then on the opposite wall, there's a Moblin sitting quietly at a table by himself with, like, a samurai sword on top of the table.
Cool.
There are no other entrances other than the way you came through.
Well, let's go interrupt this date and take their order.
Okay, you go up. It's a big, muscular Moblin fellow and a Hylian woman with red hair. It's these guys. Hoop and hoop. that did not crop very well. That's fine. You go up to take the order, and the Hylian woman pats the Moblin on the hand and says, "Honey, it's okay." And
just to confirm for the listener, this is the subplot you remember from Wind Waker.
Yeah, it's Maggie and Moe.
It's Maggie and Moe.
And she says, "Moe, honey, it's fine. You can order. Just ignore them." And the Moblin just looks extremely stressed out. You notice he's wearing a tie also.
Okay.
And he's like, I can't deal with this right now.
Loud, obnoxious people. I can relate entirely. I say, "Don't worry. I'll try and take care of this." I turn around, and with incredible purpose, I stride up to the Horriblins, and I yell at them, "Can I get you anything?"
They all start laughing and mocking you. "Can I get you anything? Can I get you anything?" And one in the back goes, "Chicken wings! Wings!" Everybody shouts, "Wings! Wings! Wings!" They all want wings.
Okay, I turn back to Mo and say, "I'm going to get these guys their wings."
He says, "Thank you."
So are there wings in the grill room, but, too?
What? Oh, I was going to check with the Moblin with the samurai sword, just in case it might be faster to ask this guy what he wants first.
Yeah.
He looks up and says, "Oh, no, thank you. I'm good."
Oh, that's easy.
Suspicious. Yeah, let's go to the grill room.
Okay. Let's see. As you pass through the grill room, King Bulblin looks up and says, What are you getting? What are you doing? What do they want?"
Oh, yeah, we're supposed to report the orders to the chef. I remember now. Wings.
Oh, for those guys? Yeah. There's not going to be enough wings in the grill for them. We're going to have to get the fryer going. Here. And he, like, pulls out an ice box and hands you, like, a entire frozen ice cube, like, link-sized, but Link can still pick it up. Full of, like, frozen chicken wings. And he says, "Cool. Toss that in the fryer. That'll be plenty for them. They're here every night."
So now we just have to find the fryer.
Ask the chef if the fryer is in the grill room.
What? No, it's in the other room. He points to the east room.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, we haven't checked out all these rooms yet. Let's go check it out.
There's a lot of rooms. Okay, we'll go check it out.
You walk into the east room. You step into this room and almost tumble down into a giant basin built into the floor. Like a swimming pool, only metal and greasy. Various pipes suggest that something could get pumped in or out of this room. A crystal switch is on the far wall.
This is terrifying. A crystal switch is on the far wall. Oh, no. Oh, no. Okay, drop the wings cube in the basin.
Dropped.
And we have to keep looking until we find the boomerang or something.
So we can't reach the switch.
You cannot reach the switch. Not from this side.
Okay.
And if we jump down into the basin, we can't climb up the other side.
Because it's too steep and too slick.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. But let me guess, there is a ladder on this side to let us climb out.
Somehow, yes. It's weird.
Well, we could try the other rooms and see if we've missed any important things, like the room to the north of the kitchen. No. Wait, can we go north of the kitchen?
That door is locked.
Oh, okay. But there's also west of the entry room, right?
Yeah.
There is.
Let's try it.
As you try and walk through that door, a curtain of fire pops up. Oh, and you take a half a heart of damage and get knocked back. Oh, no. Okay. You kind of, anytime you walk over towards it, that curtain of fire pops up and you can't get through. Do see... It looks like it's a hallway back there or something. You can't see it too well, but you do see a crystal switch on that side.
Ah.
Huh.
Well, we could talk to the Gori at the bar. We haven't done that yet.
What was his voice? He was like a cowboy. Hey, partner. I appreciate you taking my order. I reckon there's only one thing that can satiate my appetite tonight. He kind of turned into Patrick Warburton there for a second.
I really thought that the Goria was the bartender.
No, I'm sorry. He's on this side of the bar. He's...
Okay.
Sometimes you eat the bar and the bar eats you. I reckon I could use a bowl of chili. Yeah, that sounds good.
That does sound good.
Yeah, we'll get you some chili. We'll report that order to the chef.
Oh, chili. Okay, that's great. That's easy. He starts whipping ingredients together into a big pot, and then he goes, Uh-oh. He starts rooting around a bunch of different, like, shelves and stuff. He says, where's my chili powder? Don't tell me I'm out of chili powder. Hey! Temp!
Yeah?
I need you to go to the basement and get me some chili powder.
Okay. Does that mean he's going to unlock that hatch?
What, it's locked? I don't know where the key is. Great. He's very disappointed in himself that he doesn't know where the key is, but he's trying not to show that he's disappointed in himself. He's trying to blame you for it instead.
Smart.
Well,
I'd like to take off the mask.
No!
Oh, what yeah, are you no, talking wait. About? No, you're right. We aren't supposed to do that. Okay, then I'm not
we
sure.
We wait until the end, and then we reload our save file and try taking okay, off the mask.
Okay, okay. okay. Yeah, maybe you're right.
If I glance around the room, do I see anything that's like there could be a key in it?
There's like a million things that a key could be inside of. There's all sorts of boxes and shelves and stuff. If you were to spend the time doing that, you would not produce a key.
Okay. Perfect.
There were some things in the front room that we didn't look at, right? Wasn't there, like, some spears and other scenery? Was there anything that we should inspect in there?
There was
Should we try getting a spear and throwing it at these crystal switches?
If you try and grab any of the spears, there's, like, a whole lot of spears. And they're all different shapes and sizes for all the different moblins. If you try and grab one, someone invariably will be like, hey! And you're, like, not supposed to touch that. It belongs to somebody else.
Fair enough.
Even from the other room somehow. You get, like, hey!
<Yep. clears throat>
There
was a pedestal, because I can't remember what... I don't know what you call that, but you know when you go into a restaurant and there's, like, the little, like, the person that greets you is there.
Oh, yeah.
Like, menus behind it. What do you call that?
There's a lectern.
Lectern?
Or the maitre d'.
Okay.
I think you can call it a lectern.
Okay.
Or a podium, perhaps.
Podium is probably the word I'm actually looking for, but because we're in a temple, I called it a whatever I called it.
Yeah.
There's nothing, there are no menus to speak
okay.
of. No key that you can see.
What about the bar and the tables? There's empty tables now, right?
There are two empty tables. You don't see anything on top or underneath it. The bar itself is clear except for the drink that the Goria is drinking, as well as there's a bunch of drinks on shelves behind the bar. But no keys.
Okay.
Are there cute names for the drinks?
No, there are not. They're all various. They're labeled by color, weirdly. It's all like brown or like dark brown, gray, charcoal, etc.
Listeners, please tweet at us with funny names for Hylian Moblin booze.
Yeah.
Well, the only other thing I can think of to look at is the grill room again. We didn't turn all the wheels. We didn't fully inspect that grill. Oh,
sure. All right. Okay, you're back in front of the oven of time, as it seems to be. The cake batter is still, like, in the pan inside of there. Don't worry about it. It's fine.
It's fine.
Okay.
I wasn't worrying about it. Let's try turning the bottom wheel.
So you're setting it to the, what would that be, the 6 o'clock?
The bottom wheel of the rotisserie.
Oh, the bottom wheel of the rotisserie. You rotate a bunch of delicious looking meats. A bunch of whole chickens and a bunch of like, I can't think of any meat. A bunch of kebabs. Can you put a kebab on a thing? I'm trying to think.
I don't see why not.
That's already on a thing. You can't put it, no.
Can roasted you imagine vegetables. That? There are vegetables there. Mm. Giant peppers.
Well, Zach.
Hi.
Revealed his hand.
I did, probably.
By thinking that we should focus on the oven.
You said the oven.
Didn't I? Whatever. So, let's look at this oven again and solve this puzzle.
Okay.
If I look back at the symbol of time, or whatever this is, the symbol at 10 o'clock kind of looks like cake.
Okay.
So I'm going to set it to 10 o'clock.
You set it to 10 o'clock. There's like a whooshing sound. And when you open it, there is a cake there, but it is made of stone.
Cool.
Well, they didn't say they wanted a cake that wasn't made of stone.
Hold on. I think we actually do need to just try all the settings and find out what the, you know what?
Yeah,
you
there's know? No harm in it. You just turn okay, back so on.
Try 1 o'clock.
The cake is completely frozen in ice. And it makes a crayonist sound, is what my notes say.
Oh, and we have to do that with our mouth, though, because we can't.
I don't remember. No, it's been a while since I played. It's like a.
Yeah, perfect.
Okay.
2 o'clock.
You have a perfect cake, but it has been shrunk down to tiny proportions. It is a cake for, like, a very small person.
Huh.
We better try 3 o'clock again.
It's warm, but not, you didn't cook it enough yet.
Okay. 4 o'clock.
It is exactly the same as the last time. No change.
The setting of sameness. 5 o'clock was on fire.
Yes.
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock. Mustache. The oven alights, and it makes a very pleasant humming sound, and then there's a ding. And when you open it up, you have a cake.
Oh.
It looks like it's been cooked perfectly.
Okay, so 7 o'clock.
There's a twinkling sound, as if like somebody's dropping metal onto metal. And when you open it up, now that perfectly good cake is entirely made of gold.
Wow. That'd be good for a birthday.
This is awesome. 8 o'clock.
There's like a comedy horn effect. And when you open it up, the cake has eyeballs and starts talking to you and says,
"Oh, no.
Well, I have a delicious cake."
Oh, you got to turn it.
oven.
Turn it to the flour.
9 o'clock.
That was 8. So 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock. It makes a more intense whooshing sound. And there's a ding at the end of it.
The whooshing intensifies.
There's a ding. And what you have there is like a cake that you got left in the oven too long. Like it was clearly like would have been good a while back, but is like somebody forgot and it's like burnt.
Okay. And 10 o'clock was ice.
No, 10 o'clock was stone.
Oh, yeah.
Stone. And 11 o'clock.
You set it to 11 o'clock. And there's just a boom. And when you open it up, the cake has completely exploded and is all over the sides of the oven.
Ah, we won't be able to fix that, will we?
You can try.
Let's turn it back to the 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock, it is now a perfect cake again.
Awesome.
Awesome. That's
amazing. Well, let's see if they would like that cake, the mini blends.
You walk that cake back through the kitchen and the chef says, hey, come here. And he very quickly pulls icing out of nowhere and ices the cake and puts like a decorative shark on it. He's like, sailors like sharks, right? Pretty sure sailors like sharks. I'm going to put a shark on this.
Yeah, okay, sailors good. Love sharks.
Yeah. Okay, here you go.
They have a symbiotic relationship.
Yeah, basically the same thing, right? Okay, you have so you now have a decorated cake.
Okay, now we'll deliver it.
Mike, or one of the mini blends looks over and says, "Oh my gosh, you guys, you did not. You totally did not." And everybody else says, "You did. We did. We remembered your birthday. Happy birthday, Mike. Mike. We told him, hey, guy." And he points over at you and says, "We told him you're gonna sing for him. You gotta perform. You gotta perform. Tell him it's his birthday. You gotta perform for him."
Okay. What should we do? Should we sing or should we play the ocarina?
Let's play the command tarantella.
Okay. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
I hope they like spiders.
They hear that. I don't think there are any spiders in this dungeon.
Well, then it's just a good song.
But I have to think about it.
There's a lot of rooms in this dungeon. No spiders emerge, and they say, that's good enough. And Mike's like, good enough. And they're like, yeah, Mike, come on, let's get out of here. They all take a piece of cake to go and head out for the night. Cool. The last one to leave says, oh, by the way, I found this. This was under the table. And hands you a small key.
Yay.
Hey.
That's two successful transactions.
Nice.
And the tip we got was that key.
Yeah.
Great. Let's take that key to the locked basement thing.
Okay. You pop that open, and there's stairs leading down into a basement.
Do we still have the key?
That's not how keys work in Zelda.
Okay, just making sure.
The stone walls in this chamber are carved with strange, smiling faces. Stark wooden shelves are arranged haphazardly, filled with dried goods. There's a staircase back up, and a door to the east. There's also a large treasure chest in the southwest corner.
Can we open it?
Yeah.
It is locked.
Hmm.
Locate the chili powder.
Rifle through some shelves that the verb we're looking for.
Hmm.
You go through the shelves, and then you find a jar with little holes poked in it, a little thing of chili powder.
Cool. Should we see what's in the other room to the east before we go back?
Yeah, you can. Yeah. You walk into that room. This room has been covered nearly floor to ceiling in strange metal pipes. There's only one opening in the pipes, which again displays one of those weird stone faces. But suddenly, from behind you, a light appears. A flame erupts. And there's a monster.
Oh, no.
And it's this guy. I'm putting a lot of images today. It's a lot of images in this dungeon, because I was having fun with this. It's like a weird, like, pentagonal guy with flame arms and blades and flame legs. It's the Flare Dancer.
Why did I have to see this room?
And he comes at you and tries to swipe his sword arm at you.
I'll swipe
shield.
Back.
The shield blocks it, and you swipe back, but your sword only catches one of the weird fiery appendages and doesn't do any actual damage.
Okay. What I remember about this guy is that I have to use the hook shot, but I don't have the hook shot. I'm going to try magnet gloving this person.
Does not work, unfortunately.
Okay.
Is there anything about the pipe in this room that we can use to our advantage?
It's like, not especially, it's like the walls are made of pipe. It's like there was walls there, but it's all been paved over with pipe.
I see.
Oh, okay.
It's like you're walking on pipe, the walls are pipe, there's just like one opening in the pipe.
Okay.
When part of the wall that isn't covered by pipe.
Is a stone
face.
But it's
not like a pipe has a, like, there's a whole opening in the pipe that leads to the inside of the pipe.
No.
I get it.
Let's try hitting him with the butterfly net.
No, we'll burn my butterfly net.
Maybe, yeah.
I don't know. I think it's probably pretty sturdy. You could probably pull it off. I bet it's not made out of,
fine.
Like, you bonk him, does not do anything, but it also does not burn the butterfly net, critically.
Good. Well, could be worse.
Let's try escaping.
You run out of there, and the flare dancer does not chase you.
Ooh, okay.
I solved the puzzle. Okay, we better go upstairs and deliver the chili powder.
Oh, all right, great, thanks. Let me get at that real quick. Okay, here we go. The chef starts to just kind of, like, do a pinch here and there, just a little bit of sprinkling, but the cap falls off, and all of the chili powder goes into the mix, and he says,
All right.
That's for flavor. That's good, actually. here you go. He mixes it together, hands you the big pot, and says, okay, put that in the oven.
Oh, okay. Yeah, let's put it in the oven. Uh-oh. Which version of chili powder do we want? Exploded? I guess we can try 6 o'clock again if 6 o'clock is the setting of cooking things perfectly.
Mm-hmm. You do 6 o'clock and you kind of run your finger through it and it's just not, it's not done enough yet.
9 o'clock was the hotter version, right?
Yeah.
Let's try that.
Oh, because it has to simmer for hours and hours. I get it.
You put it at 9 o'clock, and then you pull it out, and oh, it smells heavenly. It's like all the ingredients are seeped in, and it just got this incredibly fragrant scent. Mm. This is a good chili.
Wow. Okay, take it to Goria.
Goria's eyes light up when you bring him a bowl of this delicious chili, and he's just like, oh, thank you so much. See, I'm a little nostalgic this evening. This chili reminds me of my dear brother. How I miss him. He very quietly sits and consumes the rest of his chili and does not sweat at all. He just handles that spice. Crazy. when he finishes, he dabbles a little napkin on him and sets the napkin cleanly in the bowl and pushes it to somebody will eventually come clean it up. And he looks over and he just says, thank you for everything. Thank you for tonight. Here, I got a little souvenir. And from his pocket, he pulls out a boomerang.
Whoa.
Says, cool.
This belonged to my brother, but you should have it. You take care now, okay? And then with that, he leaves for the night. That's three customers. Of course,
Goria has boomerang.
And he gave you a boomerang that you have now.
Wow. We just have it now.
Cool. Okay. Let's leave and just have tons of fun with boomerang.
Yeah, let's go do some side quests.
Okay. You come back. There's all those
spiders
I
couldn't get.
Having come back to the dungeon, you now have two pieces of a heart, but not a full heart.
Okay.
Oh, but that would have restored our hearts when we...
That's true. You did take a half-heart of damage earlier, so...
Backs up to maximum hearts.
Yeah.
Great. Well, in this room, there was that hallway that had a switch at the end, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Can we try to hit that with the boomerang?
You swoosh the boomerang past the fire curtain, and it hits that crystal switch, and the fire curtain deactivates.
Nice.
Oh, now you can get in there.
Let's do it.
So there's a hallway here. It's a dimly lit hallway in kind of an L shape, where you're at like the bend of the L. There's a dead end to the north where a Technoblin is doing something. Technoblin. These guys are great. This guy looks like a steampunk futuristic moblin with goggles.
Wow.
He's pretty cool. He's also got like zebra underwear for some reason. he's doing something up there. And then to the like west part of the hallway, there's a door leading to what looks like a bathroom.
Okay. Go in the bathroom.
Not as dirty as you expected. It's actually pretty well kept. There's some graffiti on the wall.
Read graffiti.
One of the graffiti is just the Konami code for some reason. And then one of them looks like, how do I describe this? It's a message from a helpful other temp who said, that Ovens and Menace just stick to the 12, 3, 6, and 9 o'clock positions and you'll be fine.
Mm. Now you tell us.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like those other settings will be great for solving puzzles.
Maybe.
Like when I need to make something into gold.
Or stone.
Smash someone over the head with it. Okay, good to know. Let's talk to this Technoblin.
As you walk over, you see the Technoblin is standing in front of a telephone. And he's like dialing different numbers and like fiddling with the coin slot and doing all sorts of stuff. He looks back at you and says, "Hey, buddy, you got a quarter?"
No.
Okay, I'm gonna keep messing with this then.
I have a rupee.
This thing doesn't take rupees. I need a coin.
Okay.
Well, I tried that already. It doesn't fit. See, and he like pulls a rupee out of his pocket and starts putting it through, and it's just like does not fit in the slot.
Well, okay. Good to know. I guess we should. We can try hitting the switch on the fryer and see if all we need to do in the fryer is just hit that switch to make it fry the wings.
You hit the switch in the fryer and it activates, and then you hear like equipment try and like start up, and then it goes like as if it's something's not working correctly.
I wonder if this is above that pipe room.
I know it's above that pipe room.
And I wonder if that's why it's not working correctly.
Well, should we try fighting the flare dancer with a boomerang?
Yes.
Okay. I don't remember actually fighting a flare dancer with a boomerang, but it probably works.
It probably works, it turns out. you descend back into the basement. The chef Bulblin looks over and just kind of grunts as you pass. You get back down there, the flare dancer engages with you. You throw your boomerang at it, and it snags the center body and pulls it over towards you, leaving it exposed.
Okay. Do we need to put it in that space in between the pipes to make it power the fryer?
You can try.
I'm going to try throwing it in that space between the pipes.
You pick it up. It, like, gets really indignant about being picked up. And you throw it into that slot, and it gets sucked into the mouth and disappears. And all the pipes start to warm up, and this room starts to get real warm all of a sudden. All
right, let's get out of here.
Okay, you escape that room before it gets too hot to handle.
Let's see if we can switch on the basin now, the fryer.
You go back up to the giant fryer room. You throw your boomerang at the crystal switch, and everything starts to turn on, and hot grease starts to come out.
Ooh, shield.
But it's like all into the... You put your shield up, but it's not quite necessary.
Just being cautious.
It forms basically a giant swirling pool of hot grease.
So that's probably cooking those wings, huh?
Oh, yeah. So as I forgot the wings were down there. Thank you for reminding me. the ice around the wings melts and they all start to cook to a nice healthy crisp. But they're all just kind of swirling around in this giant whirlpool now.
Let's boomerang them out. Or we could just turn off the fryer.
Or wait, should we boomerang the wings to make them get boomeranged back to us?
Yeah.
Very slowly and laboriously, you grab one at a time. And put it in on a massive platter. Eventually, you have a giant platter of delicious-looking wings.
Oh, this platter is so heavy.
Well, let's go deliver the order.
You haul the wings out. The King Bulblin gives you a thumbs up as you walk by.
My back!
You notice he hasn't done anything in a while. He's just kind of standing around. I'm delegating. and you bring them and you present this giant platter of wings, and the Horriblins are hooting and hollering about it. and they descend on it and consume every last bit. There's just a pile of bones remaining, and they're all patting their bellies, feeling pretty good.
Pat.
And with that, one of them says, "Let's go." And the other's like, "Yeah." And they all peel out in a hurry and leave a giant, giant mess behind. And no tip.
Ah, well, at least we don't have to clean up that mess.
I think we might have to clean up that mess.
And how is Mo feeling about this?
Mo looks the most relieved you've ever seen him in the short time you've known him. He's just like, oh. Okay. He looks over his shoulder and says, "Hi there, I'm ready to order now."
All right.
Okay.
Get out the notepad.
We would like to share a steak, please.
You got it. Scribble, scribble, scribble. Let's report that order to the boss.
The boss is like scribbling on his own pad. He's like playing hangman by himself or something. Oh, yeah. I have customers. Yeah.
Scribble, scribble, scribble.
I'm going to get the plate ready. There should be a steak on the grill. Just go grab that and I'll get the plate all ready nice and pretty.
All right. Is there a steak on the grill?
At the highest spit, there is a massive, delicious-looking steak.
But and what's the catch?
That one was stuck. You weren't able to move that one to get it to a to a grabbable position earlier.
Okay, but what if I use the magnet glove?
Aha! You magnet glove.
Wait, let me figure out what I need to magnet glove, because it's not fair if you just tell me that I magnet glove the right thing. The physical thing that the stake is on instead of the wheel that operates it.
I could buy that. I'm trying to figure out, like, we established in the last episode that using the magnet glove to, like, swing a sword at a distance was, like, not a proper use of it. But also we use the magnet glove to, like, lift a heavy object. There's, like, the force, the transference of force here, I think.
Oh, yeah, I get it.
I think bears out that if all you're doing is latching onto a metal object from the distance and then just using your physical body to move back, that that force would transfer. And it would dislodge it.
That seems to be how it works in these games.
I think that's how that works. So I think you are able to dislodge the stuck spit and bring it to a distance that you are able to grab that delicious steak.
Perfect. Okay, grab the steak, take it to the chef.
The chef says, "Okay, good work." He just like
takes.
He takes a single knife, like a big butcher knife, and just does one ka-cha and cuts it in half and says, "Okay, great. Here you go. My job is done." And he goes back to his playing hangman. He's not doing very well.
Hangman by himself.
By himself. Who does that? You can bring the steaks back to the lovely couple. They have a nice polite meal and hold hands. And then when they're done,
and I'm watching the whole time.
You are, but that's your job tonight, I guess. It's probably fine. As they walk out, Mo says, "Thank you for your help," and hands you a coin.
Nice.
An actual tip this time.
An actual tip.
So, whose face is on the coin?
No face. It's a picture of Hyrule Castle. It's got Hylian writing on it saying, "First Bank of Hyrule."
Okay. I don't think this is going to catch on.
Somebody was trying to make it work.
So, before we go give this coin away, I want to talk to Samurai Moblin.
Oh, hi. And hello.
Samurai Moblin, is there anything I can get you?
No. You see, and he like gestures at himself as I'm stalling to get this picture. And he's got a big gear on his back, and he says, points at that. I don't eat. I'm good. Thank you, though. This is a Roboblin. An automaton from that new game.
These guys are awesome.
I when I saw this guy, I'm like, him and Technoblin. Oh, spoilers. They'd be friends. Roboblin says, "I'm waiting for my friend to get back."
All right. Let's do it then. Let's solve that puzzle.
Yeah.
We'll take the coin to the Technoblin.
Okay. He says, "Ooh, can I have that? Can I have that? Please, 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 please."
Yes.
He takes the coin. He puts it in the slot. It starts ringing. And he says, "Hey,
ring, ring.
Is this Bucket Mouse?" Oh, it's so good to hear your voice. It's been so long. Oh, I'm sorry I caught you at a bad time. That's okay. I just wanted to say, hey, it's been a while. Yeah, I'll be seeing you soon, too. Yeah, happy anniversary. And he hangs up the phone. Okay, great. Thank you. And then Technoblin goes back to, he walks to the other side of the restaurant, the other side of the temple, and has a seat with Robobun, his friend, because they're friends. Because they would be friends in my mind.
Cool. Well, would either of them like anything?
Yeah.
He says, "Oh, yeah. We came here because I really wanted to try the Octrock calamari."
Well, we don't have that. Oh, I think we should go see if we have that. I just haven't seen any. We should ask the chef.
Immediately shot down.
Let's go to the chef and report this order.
You go to the chef and he says, "Oh, okay, we got somebody of taste. Okay, hang on, I got just the thing." And he pulls out like a previously unseen small ice box that was beneath something else and opens it up. And there's just like an entire like frozen Octorok there. And he says, "Here, go put that in the fryer."
Sure thing. We'll take it into the fryer. And it's still a swirling maelstrom of
hot grease, right? Oh, yeah.
Okay, so we can just toss the frozen octopus in there.
You toss the frozen octopus in there, it sizzles, it fries. And now it's looking crispy and delicious.
And then we use the boomerang to pull it back out?
Sure. You grab that? Sure. The King Bulblin will plate it really quick. He actually spends a little more time making it look nice and pretty. He does like it's got like a garnish on it and everything.
Nice.
And says, "Here you go."
All right. We'll take it back to Technoblin.
Technoblin digs right in, has a great old time. Him and Robobun are hanging out. They finish their meal. They head out on their way. And Technoblin should tip you, but I didn't think I gave him a tip to give you. Do I have any other tips that I didn't give any? No. What should he tip you? He tips you a cool...
Use bombs wisely.
A cool gem. It's like a Magatama.
Okay.
Thank you.
You just have a cool gem. That's it. As far as you can tell, there's no more customers here.
All right, then there's only one thing left to do.
Take off the mask.
Go to...
Oh.
No. Go to the oven.
Okay.
Put the... butterfly net in the oven.
Okay.
Set the oven to 8 o'clock.
That's the gold setting, isn't it?
No.
That's the anthropomorphic setting. Oh, no.
Oh, we should turn it gold. We can, then we don't have to upgrade it.
Oh, wait. Good point. Oh, why are we dang. I wanted to have a fun talking butterfly net.
You can do that, too. It's pretty grotesque.
I don't think I can do both, though.
Does it work on things that aren't food? Let me think about this. I should probably fiat that it does not work on anything that is not actually food.
Banjo and Kazooie could have a butterfly net with eyes that talks.
That's true.
So does that mean the entire oven doesn't do anything?
This is so unfair.
I'm trying to think this through. You try and put it in, but it's like too long and it doesn't fit.
Yeah, that I was afraid of that.
That's why I was trying to do this fast so you wouldn't think about that.
Nice try.
Should use the Song of Swiftness.
It's not too late for us to put in the, get like a talking lantern of truth or a talking magnet glove.
Quit messing with the oven in there. Come here. Come here.
All right. What's up? What's up, chef?
Okay. You did great. Good job. We're not done yet, though. I need to, we got to clean up a little bit. So here's what I want you to do. I magnanimously... I'm going to take care of cleaning in here. I'll take care of it all in here. I'll take care of that. I want you to turn off the fryer, and then I want you to go out back and clean the grease trap. He hands you a big key.
Oh, no.
Okay. Let's turn off the fryer.
You hit the crystal switch on the other side. The whole thing drains out into some other pipes.
Okay.
Now, does this big key open the door to the north of the kitchen?
It does.
Well.
You open this big door. Do I have text for this? Turns out there's not enough room. It turns out that there's enough room behind the temple that there's like a back alley here. And there are like some trash cans. There's also a door on the cliff with a skull on it.
Okay. But I don't see the grease trap anywhere here.
Oh, there are pipes leading into the cliff face, into that.
Okay. Right, across the alley.
Across the alley into the, into the.
Cool.
The skull room, the death room.
I almost feel like we're being tricked here, but.
Well, we can handle it.
Yeah.
Let's stride confidently into the skull death room.
You walk into the skull death room, and it's pretty terrifying. It's just, like, kind of piles of, like, dried, congealed grease, but also just, like, a giant molten pool of grease. And something stirs within it, and then something leaps out. And it's a sentient fireball creature.
Oh, man.
It is.
Oh, no.
Oops, not that. That didn't work. It's Hothead.
Yeah.
From Turtle Rock.
No.
And he says, psh, crackle whoosh, his catchphrase. And you got to fight him. He's the boss.
Uh-oh.
The door shuts and the boss music starts playing.
Take off the mask.
Hothead does not care.
Okay, put it back on.
Put it back on.
Slash of the sword.
You can't sword reach first. Him because he's jumping in and out of a bunch of super hot grease.
Yeah.
I guess we'll have to aim the boomerang at not where he is, but where he's going to be.
Mm. Oh, that's so smart. You hit him with that boomerang and he's like, and some grease falls off of him.
Oh, do it again.
Yeah.
On the next round, you do it again. And more grease falls off of him.
It's working.
This is perfect. This is working exactly as I was hoping it would. Keep doing it.
You do it a third time.
This would accurately resemble the Hothead fight
if I just
the same thing over and over again.
That's right. You do it again, and okay. Now it's some weird skull thing that it actually is underneath all that for some reason.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's rad. But it doesn't change how we fight him, right?
No, just, not whatsoever.
Keep throwing the boomerang.
You throw it the requisite amount of times, and he's kaput. And then all of the grease drains out to who knows where. Not your problem. But in where he was, where the skull was, it goes poof, and there's a heart container.
Yeah. I deserve that. Let's take it.
Heart container noise. I can't keep track of which triumphant music is which.
That was the one. That was definitely it.
Yeah, I got it perfect. Perfect rendition.
Thanks.
Anything else in here?
Nothing else in here. It's very gross. Okay. Your apron is covered in grease. It's very gross now.
Get out of here and also take off that apron. Because I quit.
You take the apron off.
Wait until we get paid.
Oh, good point. Okay. Put it back on. Grease side out.
If you make your way back into the kitchen, King Bulblin is there and says, oh. You survived. Good job. Yeah, usually that's when the new waiters ditch this job. Usually they quit right about now. But appreciate your help. Here, and he like hits a lever behind the counter and says, the chest downstairs is open. Just take one thing. Only one. I'll count it later. So if you take more than one, you're a bad person.
Okay, let's go downstairs. Let's look in that treasure chest.
This treasure chest is packed full of stuff. Just gold bars and jewels and, like, rupees of exotic size and color. But you don't care about any of that. Because sitting dead center in the middle of it, above everything else, is the fire pendant. I almost said medallion.
Let's take it. That's what we're here for.
Yay.
You got the fire pendant.
The pendant music is dun, 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 dun.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
All right, let's put the apron in there and then close the chest. Oh, and then
that's smart. That's smart.
Then sneak out.
You don't even see where he's at. He's not here now, King Bulbul.
Okay. Well, we're out of here and we've got the pendant.
Congratulations.
That was okay, cool. So that was fun.
We're not done yet.
Oh, we're not done yet.
Save the game.
Are you going to mess with the oven again?
No. Unless I think of something else to do. No. Load the save from when we came back to the chef to say that we had cleaned the grease trap.
Okay.
Okay.
Good job. Usually people quit by now.
Well, I'm not any ordinary Bokoblin, you see.
Oh.
And I take off the mask and I say, I'm a Hylian guy.
Oh. I wasn't expecting this. You see, the thing is that he looks at you and he says, all I know is I follow the strongest. And if you're the strongest waiter that I have, then I don't care that you're Hylian. I think that's his line. He has a famous line. And I did not put it in the notes somehow.
Oh, okay. Well, then I guess if he's not going to kill us, then we can go down and claim the...
Yeah, I literally don't care, man.
The fire medallion again. I mean, pendant. Without the mask. Yeah, cool.